keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed on AOA. Now back to Mike Pearson.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for tuning in to AOA. We appreciate being a part of your day. You know, the dairy producers across this great country have been buffeted by winds beyond their control for the past 3 years. We had COVID throw things into disarray, of course, and then we saw all of the disruptions over food service. And now we've been grappling with export issues. Our friends to the north have been creating some trouble for U.S. dairy producers, but now we're working with the organizations we have to try to find relief. Joining us for an update on this situation is Shauna Morris. She's the Senior Vice President for Trade Policy at both the National Milk Producers Federation and at the U.S. Dairy Export Council. And Shauna, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me,
Thanks
Mike.
For having me, Mike.
I'd like to get started with some of the back and forth that U.S. dairy has had with the Canadian dairy industry. Things have not gone really great up there. What's Canada been doing to disadvantage American dairy producers?
Well, what haven't they been doing? Not that that's a big shock, I'd say, though. Arguments with the Canadians on dairy trade date back years and years and years. Far before the latest FTA, the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. But ever since that agreement's been put into place a few years ago, our struggle has really been getting the Canadians to live by that agreement. Most importantly, we've been trying to make sure that the new export access that we got the right to ship to Canada under USMCA, we actually get to take full advantage of. It's not a huge amount of access, but what we have is really important to our dairy farmers and dairy manufacturers.
And Shauna, could you, that expansion of dairy exports into Canada, though it was small, as you mentioned, it was hard fought by the industry. Can you tell us what the dairy industry was expecting to gain here with USMCA?
Yeah, our expectation of what we're likely to gain if Canada finally complies with the agreement is an expansion of our exports into the Canadian market, really across a broad swath of dairy products. We make an awful lot of things here in this country in our dairy industry, high quality products that are also in demand in Canada, whether that's fluid milk to butter to cheese to ingredients like milk powder. All of those had new tariff rate quotas, so permission to be able to ship into Canada at no tariffs, effectively, up to certain volume levels. That's an important expansion, not the same type of open trade we have with Mexico, thanks to NAFTA, but still more than we would have had prior to USMCA.
And for our listeners who aren't in the dairy industry, Shauna, could you elaborate a little bit on why we have these challenges with Canada under USMCA and not with Mexico? What is it about the Canadian dairy industry that makes it a weird thing to try and confront this?
That's a good question. Maybe I'll start on the Mexican side first. We have fully open trade in dairy products, so zero tariffs for our products headed into Mexico, zero tariffs on Mexican products. Dairy products headed here into the U.S., and we have ever since the North American Free Trade Agreement was fully implemented many years ago. We actually work really closely with our partners in Mexico and the dairy sector down there, and have been able to together expand total demand for dairy in that market over the last several years. So it's a real partnership and tends to work pretty smoothly there. On the Canadian side, in contrast, we've had tariffs for the large part remain in place. Dairy wasn't part of the original NAFTA. It is part of the new U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement that the last administration negotiated. And we have access for a certain volume of products to ship tariff-free each year. The Canadian industry, frankly, doesn't like even that, though. And so instead, what we grapple with on the Canadian side is sort of constant scheming and creative brainstorming about how to wriggle out of the commitments that they've made.
Constant scheming. Shauna, that seems like a really apt description of how Canada has operated since USMCA has signed. I understand now the U.S. Trade Representative has said we are going to begin a formal dispute process under USMCA about Canadian dairy. Fill us in. What does that look like? What does this process mean in terms of for dairy producers?
So that process that the that the U.S. Trade Representative's office initiates, and on ag issues, that's done in really close cooperation with the Department of Agriculture, as has been the case here, is basically the enforcement tool. So just like in the normal court, where if somebody's not doing what they promised to do, you can take them to court to have your rights enforced. That's what this dispute settlement is supposed to do. So it pulls together a panel of three judges, one picked by each of the USMCA countries, to hear the case. So over the next several months now, the US and Canada will be submitting briefs and arguments and writing to the panel of judges, and then ultimately have oral arguments in front of them to argue the case from their side. USTR and USDA did a great job during the first dispute settlement case, arguing why Canada wasn't complying, and we know that's what they're going to do this time as well.
You know, you mentioned the dispute settlement case and presenting the arguments in front of judges. And then, of course, the next question, Shauna, is who are these judges? Are they representing American, Canadian, and Mexican interests under the USMCA?
They're really charged with helping ensure that the agreement is followed and that countries abide by their commitments. There's a roster of lawyers that the countries have created that can be picked from when dispute settlement cases, so these court cases effectively, need to happen. There are judges from each of the countries, so there's Canadian lawyers on that, U.S. lawyers, and Mexican ones as well. The goal there being to help ensure that across all three parties, there's people looking out for the integrity of the agreement. Because frankly, you know, there's more folks that care about this case working properly than just U.S. dairy farmers and manufacturers. It's really the first case under USMCA, and whether it works or not is a really strong bellwether about the enforcement ability for other cases to come.
It certainly is. We're hearing conversations under USMCA heat up on the corn side. Of course, as our listeners remember, Mexico's planned ban on the import of GMO corn here this next year. See that develop under USMCA. But Shauna, on the dairy side specifically, this isn't the first time USMCA has considered a challenge to the dairy industry, is it?
It's not. Our second go-round.
And so my question then would be, what happened after the first one? Why didn't Canada get the memo?
That's a good question. I'd say the first one, in our view, again, was well argued by the U.S. government, but the panel considering the case took a really narrow view of the work that needed done. They ruled on only one of the violations by Canada, so only one out of the many things Canada was doing wrong that wasn't complying with the agreement on dairy trade. And so the Canadians interpreted that to say, well, if we just fix one tiny thing, we'll wash our hands and we're good here. And that's just not the case. So last year, for instance, we saw very minimal changes to how Canada was handling its dairy market access provisions. And so we still have many of the same problems. This case is taking a broad view of challenging all of the areas where we're continuing to struggle with Canadian dairy access, and our expectation is that the panel considers each of those. The agreement has a lot of provisions on how to handle market access, and we know that the negotiators put them in for a reason, and that we really need a ruling across the board so that we see the changes we need to from Canada.
And of course, with the ruling, if they do side with American producers, this opens the potential for some sort of punishment, right? For Canada, some sort of retaliation. Shauna, what could that look like under USMCA, and would it be broad enough to get the Canadians' attention?
You're right. The stick here, so to speak, is that if a country doesn't comply with the panel report findings in a case like this, then the alternative is levying retaliation. What that means here would be tariffs applied on Canadian products coming into the U.S. How that happens typically is that USTR develops a list of different products that it's proposing attaching additional tariffs to, and what those higher tariffs would be, and then publishes that for public comment. We think, you know, frankly, we've been on the other side of the fence sometimes, where other countries have issued retaliatory threats. or actually put them into effect on our dairy exports if the U.S. wasn't quickly compliant in other cases. And we've seen that they can be pretty effective. So yes, that's not where we hope this will end. We certainly hope that Canada decides at the end of this process to change its ways and make the reforms that are needed. But if not, retaliation is there, and it's a tool that the U.S. will need to take advantage of if it has to.
Shauna, since this complaint has now been formally drafted by the USTR, is there the potential that Canada could voluntarily open up their markets for more U.S. dairy? And if so, would that address the concerns?
It's not possible. No, not in practice. They certainly could choose to do that, but the politics in Canada mean that they simply would not do that. In reality, they'll have to be forced through this process to make the changes that need made here, which is why we think it's so important that the administration went ahead with this second case.
All right. So they're pushing ahead. USTR is engaging on this issue. Shauna, timeline-wise, you mentioned this could drag out over several months. First hearing, do we know when that might be happening?
Probably sometime late spring, early summer, based on the typical USMCA timeline for these cases. I'd expect, you know, probably around the latter portion of the third quarter is when we're likely to see a ruling on it. That's actually lightning speed for dealing with these trade disputes, and that's the direct outgrowth of the new USMCA.
All right. We'll see how it all plays out, folks. We've been speaking with Shauna Norris, Senior Vice President of Trade for the National Milk Producers Federation and the U.S. Dairy Export Council. Shauna, thanks for joining us today. And folks, stick around. We'll have more AOA coming up here when we return.